right now to make our goal for the end of the drive. We have several tens of thousands of dollars left to go. So please, right now, we need your support. This is the time. We know you are listening. If you are a regular KBOO listener, the radio sounds so much better once you become a KBOO member. Trust me. You don't believe me? Try it out. Prove me wrong. Come down here and call shenanigans on me if you donate to KBOO and then find that I am lying. 877-500-5266.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bread and Ink Cafe, located at 3610 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland, serving family-style breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Lunch provided by Aviv, located at 1125 Southeast Division Street in the Hosford-Abernethy neighborhood. Open daily from lunch to dinner, Aviv serves vegan-friendly Middle Eastern cuisine. Dinner provided by Le Bistro Montage, located in Portland's Industrial District at 301 Southeast Morrison Street. Le Bistro Montage serves Creole cuisine, open daily from dinner to late night. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Folk Music Society 2018-19 concert season. Molly O'Brien and Rich Moore will take the stage in the season opener on Friday, September 21st. For over 30 years, singer Molly O'Brien and guitarist Rich Moore have made it their mission to unlock the secrets of the canon of American roots music. They are geniuses at interpreting the essence of the songs they tackle. Experience them live at the Portland Folk Music Society season opener on Friday, September 21st at Reedwood Friends Church, located at 2901 Southeast Steele Street in Portland. The concert begins at 7:30 with doors opening at 7. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
On his Martin guitar, the poor folk thinks he's gonna be a star.
Some of your tender Welcome, dear listeners. Thanks for tuning in with us on KABU. I'm your host, Hedda. This is Preference, an experiment queer radio. I haven't called it that a long time. Alyssa's here with me.
Hi, Alyssa Pariah, everyone. General Agitator in Chief. And we are very lucky today because we're going to be speaking to Charlene Carruthers, who is a director with the Black Youth Project. And she's written a book. It's called Unapologetic, A Black Queer and Feminist Mandate for Radical Movements. And I know that I have laryngitis. I'm sorry, Hedda, but I was at the Burgerville Workers Union Action on 82nd and Gleason, and then went to Pioneer Square to help Right to Survive have a press conference and then a march to Sisters of the Road. And I was screaming every step of the way at both places.
Now, quickly, Burgerville, the union is one issue, and there are more issues at play now. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Well, the reason that we were out there today is because the bosses have come down on the workers for having political buttons, or like the flair that workers regularly, you know, have on. And it's like a fun part of being at Burgerville, except they had ones that said Black Lives Matter and Abolish ICE. And they were stopped.
Before we bring Charlene on the air, I'm very excited to talk with her. I want to let everybody know that I have an event coming up. It's Thriller World Portland. It's the local outpost of a worldwide simultaneous thriller. We dance together the last Saturday in October, and before that we'll have classes. So if you want to join, we'll teach you how to do the thriller dance, a long version. So it's a lot of fun, and it's some work to pick up. This is our 12th year doing it. We did it as a fundraiser for SMRC for the first 10 years. That's Portland's Sexual Minority Youth Resource Center. And now it is a benefit for KABU. And we actually average about 175 people each year. So it's a zombie horde that comes together and does this dance. And a lot of folks have already been in touch this year, so I think it's going to be great. And we launch practices last Friday in September, next week, I guess. And there are also instructional videos on YouTube. You can go look. Charlene, are you on the line with us?
I am. Hello.
Hi there. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm Hedda, and Alyssa's here in the studio with me.
Hi. Thank you, Charlene. I'm a little bit starstruck right now. I know you're an activist and not a star, but I'm a big fan of your work.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes.
Charlene, do you want to just give us a quick introduction?
Sure. My name is Charlene Carruthers. I am author of the book Unapologetic, Black Queer and Feminist Mandate for Radical Movement.
Wonderful.
And I'm based here in Chicago.
Yeah. Can you give us a bit of information on the Black Youth Project?
So it's BYP 100,
mm-hmm.
Black Youth Project 100. I'm the founding national director, the outgoing national director. We have two new co-directors coming in. And we're a national organization of young Black activists between the ages of 18 and 35. And we work on racial, economic, LGBTQ, and gender justice across the country.
Wonderful.
Excellent. So in that vein, and excuse me, I have laryngitis, but please work with me. I was just protesting and screaming all day, so I know you sympathize.
I get it.
Yes. So when we run down the subtitle of the book, I really want to piece it out for everyone that's listening, so that they just don't go buy it. So we say, well, we want them to go buy it, but I mean, go buy the title without thinking. Absolutely, go buy the book, everyone.
Yeah.
A Black, Queer, and Feminist Mandate for Radical Movements. Now, it's a long title. Someone might think, okay, Charlene Carruthers is gonna write a book. It's gonna be called The Black Youth Project 100. But we're bringing in multiple intersections here, and the mandate is for a queer and feminist Black politic. Please, for anyone that has any question, please talk about why that's important and how you implement it.
Yes. So for me, just personally, as an organizer, as so someone who is an activist on various issues, a resident of the south side of Chicago, I understand that, you know, Fannie Lou Hamer's words decades ago, free, or nobody's free until we're all free, has to become real in the work that we do. And organizing through what we call the Black Queer Feminist Lens is about recognizing, leaning into, building on the Black radical tradition, and specifically Black radical feminism and LGBTQ movements that have really shaped so many movements for collective liberation. And it isn't called the Black Youth Project because it's not a history of BYP 100.
Beautiful.
It's also not my memoir. It is a book that's meant to be a guide for people who want to become sharper organizers, sharper activists, and build stronger movements. And so I wrote Unapologetic because I didn't have a book at 18 when I got started in activism and later in organizing that was written by somebody like me with somebody like with my type of experiences and also like freedom dreams for the world.
So I wonder if you could give people who are listening, who are engaged in this work or want to be, some tips about how to most effectively convince people who are not already where we are so that we can build the movement bigger and better. Because that's a hiccup for me and for so many of my comrades. We want to tote the correct line between the famous phrase, meeting people where they're at, but also demanding that people get better. But that's something that has to be convinced. So if you have any tips, we need them.
Yeah, well, you know, I have had conversations with people about issues and landed in a place that is different from where we started. And what I mean by that is I've had conversations with folks about, like, this was years ago, 2010, about the Dream Act. And in who, like, belonged to Catholic congregations. Politics were pretty conservative. And getting, like, having what we call a one-on-one meeting or a relational meeting with them and really exploring their actual self-interest and their actual values and connecting them in, like, real ways to the issue at hand. And so what it takes for me to organize people around ideas is that slow grind of one-on-one conversation. It being able to tell stories to explain things and not just using facts. It's about, for me also as an organizer, is finding those points of agitation for people. Because if you come out of your mouth and you say you believe in family,
yes.
Well, what about the children and the parents, the families that are in, they're actually prisons called detention centers right now?
Yes.
Don't they deserve to be together and not in cages?
Yes.
And just having that type of conversation and leveling with people. Like, you can't say you believe in something, but it only applies to you, because then you don't really believe in it. So it's something that I've been, like, that kind of work is something I've been engaged in for a really long time. And I also don't focus my work on people who, like, are completely opposite of me, that don't have my values. Like, that's actually not the best use of my time.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people who we actually do share values and nobody's organizing them. Or I shouldn't say nobody's organizing them. The folks who are, like, I'm organizing with may not be organizing them, or we need more people to organize them.
Yes.
Like, there's a gap, and so that's where I see the work being, is with those folks who would be with us if they even knew that we existed and that we're normal people just like them.
Yes, I thank you for bringing up the detention centers, because it's in the front of a lot of people's minds. Just this morning, people who were at City Hall doing their Occupy ICE vigil were swept up And one of their difficulties has been bringing people on in order to get a crucial mass. And I find that there's a bit of a gap between the work that they're doing and other organizations, and it's very hard to see. And I want people to get better around this issue of unapologetically supporting immigrants and rejecting borders.
Yeah. I mean, so a lot of people don't know this about me, but I actually got started in direct action working on immigrant rights issues. And I actually don't come from an immigrant family. Just by virtue of the work that I was doing, the first action I ever attended when I was like in college was a Dream Act rally. This was a long time ago.
Charlene?
And so it was just, can you hear me?
Yes, we would love to pick up this conversation in a couple minutes. Oh, yeah. We've got a couple of folks here who want to talk with listeners about how to support KBOO. We've got Emma and Jalen.
Great. We are here in Pledge Central. A great program tonight, Preference, with Alan Silver and Alyssa Pagan. And we're like so happy to be able to bring you this kind of programming. It's just so interesting to be able to talk about issues like immigrants' rights, like really putting immigrants front and center, putting Black and brown people front and center in our movements for social justice. And that's the kind of programming that you're only going to hear right here on KBOO. KBOO is your source for authentic community programming. It's grassroots programming from the ground up. And we're here to just talk to you for about 5 minutes about why we want you to support KBOO. The unique programming that you're hearing tonight, the author who's being interviewed and the guests who are hosting have got great content to bring to us every week. We have this amazing program, these amazing programs that come, and the only way that we can keep this going is through your contributions, through your support. We're asking people right now if they can to give us a call. We've got a whole bunch of folks here ready to take your phone call and let them know that you support KBOO. Maybe you could give like 1 hour's wage. So like if you could give maybe, like let's say you make a living, let's say you make $15 an hour, which is the bare minimum for a living wage. If you could give 1 hour of your wage a month, that would be $180 a year, broken up into $15 every month. And it makes a huge difference to KBOO. Like if everybody can give just a little bit, then that's what makes it go all the way. Our number is 877-500-5266. You can also give online at kboo.fm. What do you think about all that, Jalen?
Man, it's all good to hear, you know. These programs that we provide over here at KBOO are very unique to the community, unique voices that we're putting on the airwaves, and we can only make it possible with our user donations. And if you're not a member yet, please become a member now. We got openings at all times. Go online at kboo.fm and sign up now. Donate however much you feel. We have different types of amounts that you could offer. We also got plenty of prizes to give away. We got the prize drawing, which is, how does that go? Is it
today? What is the prize drawing? So the prize drawing, everybody who calls and enters can be enrolled in the prize.
Looks like you get a chance to win 12 bottles of wine, 3 varieties of Pinot from St. Joseph's Winery. That's a lot of bottles.
That's a great prize. Those. Oh, and we've got a couple of people that we just wanted to. We just got a renewal from Jim from Corbett. Thank you, Jim.
And we got an Amber from Vernonia.
Great, who's a new member. Thank you so much, Amber, and to Jim. And it's folks like Amber and Jim who really help make KBOO happen. So why don't you give us a call? You could be our next Amber, our next Jim. We really need your support right now. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. We're getting closer and closer to our goal, but we still have a ways to go. And we've only got like maybe 5 days left in the pledge drive. So this is really your chance. Tonight is your chance to give us a call. And really, like, you're listening right now to KBOO because you love the queer programming block. You're really interested in programs that put the voices of Black and brown people front and center, and you want to support this kind of programming. You want to support KBOO, so give us a call. Our number is 877 500-5266. KBOO is really dedicated to the concept of beloved community, and we don't always get it right, but we're really trying, and we need your support to get even better. And but one of the ways that we need support, besides just like helping us to get everything right, is also we do need financial support. That's part of how KBOO operates. We're a radio station that has, we have a lot of bills to pay. And so if you can give us a call right now, maybe you could give like $120. That's $10 a month. That's a great amount to give. Give us a call. We've got a whole bunch of folks here ready to take your call. And we're really excited. We're well on our way to our goals. And so we hope that you'll give us a call, 877-500-5266. And now we're back to preference.
Thanks, Emma. Thanks, Jalen. We're on the phone with Charlene Carruthers.
The legendary.
Oh,
Charlene, this is one of the only community radio stations in the country. So we have to push when we do these pledge drives, because this place will close down. We are not open to corporate donations. But before we left, you were talking about how you came to the movement through immigrant justice work. And I desperately want people to be able to hear how you came to that work, how it radicalized you, and how it drives you now. Please.
Yeah. So for me, it was super, super simple. Somebody told me that there are some students who weren't able to go to college because of their citizenship status when I was in, like, it was either my first or second year in college. And I was like, what? That's black. I'm going to show up to this rally. I'm going to... this is a small, private, predominantly white, liberal arts institution. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to figure out how I can support this. And it was like really my first, one of my first experiences. I also studied in South Africa for about a month, like during a May term course. That was super pivotal for me. So there were a lot of things. I mean, growing up where I grew up plays a major role in like how I understand the world and how I decide to, like, how I've chosen to actually do this work. And it's an honor, right? Like, it doesn't happen overnight, or it can happen overnight. Literally, you can find yourself in the middle of a protest or a mass action after something has happened, but to continue the work, that's a choice.
Thank you. Mic drop. Thank you.
Indeed. Charlene, you used the word queer. I would love to hear you talk about what that term means, what you bring into the word queer.
And why queer and not LGBT?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great question. So, you know, even the movement or the traveling of the word queer has evolved so much, and you know, it's changed, it's morphed. And for me, it was really important. I come from like the school of Kathy Cohen in thinking about queer politics, the radical potential of queer politics. Kathy wrote her article, Punks, Bulldaggers, and Welfare Queens, 21 years ago. And talked about, you know, the radical potential of a queer politics, something that was beyond the liberal politics of the mainstream LGBT movement, and one that was really about recognition of deviance and saying, like, of being treated as deviant, as like abnormal, as wrong, and saying, actually, it's okay to be expansive. It's okay to be different. It's okay to like to have a politic that is like truly transformative. And I choose to use queer because in this moment, in this political context, and I think where we're going, is important to articulate blackness as a queer, like as a queer state of being. And to not just, and even like how we think of LGBT, that has expanded so much.
Yeah.
Just in my lifetime, I'm 33, and so and it's continuing to change. And so queerness for me is about expansiveness, and in more blackness is inherently queer, and I don't want to have people mistaken and think that sexual identity doesn't, like, that's not real, because it is.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, queer, like, my sexual, like, even identifying as a lesbian is political for me, because this day and age, it doesn't seem to be like being lesbian is not cool enough. You got to be something else. You got to say something else. And so I'm like, you know, I'm gonna call myself a lesbian, and you know, and queer mm-hmm. at the same time, and I can say both.
Okay. So I have to bring this up. I've come across a lot of people in the movement. I'm a member of Don't Shoot Portland. Shout out all my comrades in Don't Shoot Portland. I have had to sort of swallow some bad treatment from people in the movement and who are supporters, because they're not really down with trans people or other queer people more generally.
Yeah.
And, you know, we might use certain words for them, you know, in terms of their politics not being as progressive as we want them to be. And for people who want to be in this work, who are not quite there, I mean, please, if it's only to help me, give me some tips about how I can help people get better. Because yeah. I really do want everybody in the movement. I don't delude myself in thinking that it's not going to take a mass movement where we need everybody, but it is a little bit exhausting.
I mean, first, it's like, I know it's exhausting for people who actually are trans. I don't know if you are, you know, like, and imagining like what they got to go through to, like, just in regular everyday life, and then what they may have to go through in movement. And so just always keeping that in mind, I think, is really important. I think also that, like, just for folk who, like, for us to recognize that we, like, I haven't always had my politic. I haven't always, had a understanding I haven't always had the politics that I have right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, we grow up in a transphobic society. And there's so much unlearning that I've had to do, that we all have to do, even trans folks have to do.
No kidding.
And that, like, the important part is that we are making a commitment to doing that. And if we don't make the commitment, it's never going to happen. Mm. And it includes, you know, using folks' desire, like, folks' pronouns. And it goes beyond that, too. Like, people aren't, like, some exhibit to be gawked at or, like, dissected. Mm-hmm. And so how are we, like, really showing up to, like, allow, to give room for people to live in their full dignity and for us to be in our dignity, too, I think is super important. And so there's a certain level of education. I mean, there's so many resources out there. If you got some questions, you can literally Google any question that you think is ridiculous. It's on the Internet.
Or you should buy Unapologetic.
Yeah, you can buy my book.
Yes, I'm gonna be hosting a group reading session. So come to my book club.
Yeah, you can buy my book. You can read writers like Raquel Willis. She's a black trans woman who's written extensively. She has video out there. There's all kinds of juicy stuff that she's done. And there are other people, right, that people can learn from. Dr. Kai M. Green has some amazing work out there too. And so it's committing to the work. Just like you need to learn, you recognize you're ignorant about anything, you take the time to study, you take the time to know people, read people's stories, and you educate yourself, right? That's the work.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to use this book to organize people. Thank you, Charlene.
Awesome. Of course. Thank you.
Yeah, let's remind folks the title, Unapologetic, A Black Queer and Feminist Mandate for Radical Movements. Charlene Carruthers is the author. Charlene, I want to dig in, if I can, for a moment into something I think you said earlier, or suggested maybe, which is that the concept of lesbian has changed over time. In your lifetime, do you have a sense that that's true? I'm so curious about.
Even if it hasn't necessarily, the concept hasn't changed. It's like, I think folks assume that everybody's okay or something. Like, I think in the past, I think last year, towards the end of last year, there've been like several black lesbians who were killed. And like many, if not all of those instances were like motivated by homophobia and misogyny, anti-blackness, all those things. And like, I think people think we're okay and that we're not necessarily as marginalized. And that is because, you know, marriage is legal and, you know, if you don't look like some gender marginalized, like to even if you are a woman, if you are a trans woman who's lesbian or a woman who's a lesbian who isn't trans, like that's a marginalized identity by being a woman, just straight up. And so, or a marginalized gender group that we belong to. And so to then like act like it's not a thing anymore, that we there's still not a struggle that's at hand, and there's still even on the opposite end of the struggle, like cultural production that's happening, stories that are being told, visions that are being developed, like that, it's like it feels like the space is smaller. In my assessment, but some people might disagree, and that's the sense that I've been getting. Yeah.
What are the disagreements?
Oh, I don't know. People may not agree that the space is smaller for lesbians. You know, or people may not agree. Lesbians are still like a seriously marginalized like population in this country. And black lesbians, be it like, I think about the parenting issues that black lesbians face, even wanting like to be able to parent, to choose to parent, to not parent, all that stuff is really real. And I'm not one to like sit here and compare oppression, because that's actually is not useful.
Hello.
For us. I think it's important for us to make connections, though. I think it's really important for us to make connections with each other in connection to the systems that are like moving over our lives.
Okay. Yeah. So we have to talk about this. I'm thinking about Sanford, Florida, Ferguson, Missouri, Baltimore, Maryland, Chicago, Illinois, where you're from. We have to talk about police and state violence, right? I'm shocked that even after the righteous urban rebellions that have sprung up after the police have shown their full brutality and gotten away with it, that there are still people who, some of them, you know, claim to be part of the movement, and I don't have enough time to talk about that, but anyway, they would tell us that what we need to do is to engage with the state, engage with police departments, and try to put in systems that will give us justice. It's very, very difficult to engage with. Do you have any tips?
Well, I just don't focus my energy on those folks, to be completely honest with you.
Okay.
Like that's not the work that I do. I know that's work that other people do. And like they may not have like the same type of like choice or what have you, or they just may have a different situation than I'm in. There are literally so many people who they're not waiting for us to just organize them, and there are so many people who like would totally be down with us if we focused on them. And even like Miriam Kava, a prison industrial complex abolitionist and feminist, says, you know, we have to celebrate the choir. And like sometimes we say, you know, don't preach to the choir, but are we like celebrating the people who do show up?
Oh my God.
We should do that. Like not always complaining about who wasn't at the meeting, but who's that? Who are those people who always show up to the meeting? Let's celebrate them, you know, and let's support them and make sure that we're investing in their leadership, because that matters.
Whoa. Okay. Whoa. Finally, I want to say, okay, so let's say people have come to my book club. We've all read Unapologetic. Mm-hmm. We have some very important tools to go forward now and have a better analysis to bring to the work. The larger movement for Black Lives, do you have a forecast for where you think things are likely to go?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I think things are going in a direction, in a couple of different directions. I think on one hand, people are thinking more in electoral politics. On the other hand, people are really thinking through what self-governance looks like, current political system. I'm super inspired by the work that's being led by Southerners on New Ground, where they're connecting abolition to direct service by bailing out Black mamas of all sorts, Black caregivers, and really like providing direct service support too. So they're and working to end money bail like completely across the country. And so I think that's it's all those things. It's a combination of many approaches that I think are moving us in a generative direction.
Okay. Charlene, thanks so much for joining us. Your book is Unapologetic, A Black, Queer, and Feminist Mandate for Radical Movements. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We're going to turn this over to Jalen and Guinevere to tell us how you can help us continue to bring great radio to Portland.
Hey, what's up? I'm Jalen. I'm here with Gwen, and we're excited to be joining you on your guys' show to mention the membership drive. It is our September membership drive, one of our biggest ones of the year. It's so huge for you guys to donate so we can have these wonderful conversations like the ones going on now on the airwaves. To give that number to you guys real quick, it is 877-500-5266. Again, that is 877-500-5266. If you don't want to call us on our phones, go ahead and go online at kboo.fm. You could go online and donate as well. And if you're not currently a member of our community, feel free to sign up on the website as well. We're always looking to get more people involved in our community, get more voices out there. And we love to see you guys' donations coming in because we love speaking to you guys and getting our topics out there. We got some donation amounts. The easiest one, probably $5 a month, which amounts to $60 a year. And speaking of which, we actually have a book to give away that just came in. It is called Global Gay, How Gay Culture is Changing the World by Frederick Martel. Once again, that is $5 a month or a $60 one-time purchase. And you could do that by calling us at 877-500-5266 or go online at kboo.fm and donate now. Anything you want to say, Gwen?
You bet. We have a big thank you to say to Layla. She's a new member. She called in honor of the Jewish New Year.
Yes.
So thank you, Layla. Like Jalen said, we have this book here that just came in. We have one of them. So whoever calls up first gets it.
Yep. And we got tons of other prizes as well. We got T-shirts. We got a hoodie. We have a beanie. The hoodie is going for $25 a month or $300 one-time purchase. The beanie is also $5 a month, along like the book is, or $60 one-time purchase. And then also, if you call now and donate, you could be entered for a chance to win 12 bottles of wine. Yes, I did say 12 bottles of 12 wine.
Bottles.
Three varieties of Pinot from St. Joseph's Winery. Or go to kboo.fm for rules and details on all the prizes. Once again, you guys give us a call at 877-500-5266. Once again, 877-500-5266. You guys' donations mean so much to us. These conversations and topics that come up on here are very unique. They're all the people's voices. You won't really find anywhere else. You know, there's no one else's money in our pockets other than the community, and that's who we're doing this for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, one thing about it that's really cool is there's all different levels that you can give. It doesn't have to be a specific amount, like $5 or $10. It could be $7. It could be $25 or more. You know, so part of the idea here is to give what you're comfortable with and you can live with. And all of that comes right in here to help support KBOO's functioning on a daily basis.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And might I add that these shows that we have going on, we do them definitely, you know, because we want to engage in these conversations, but it's more for you guys because we want to get those voices that are unheard and suppressed commonly in society out to the mm-hmm. public and know, let the people know that they matter. And this is only possible with your guys' contributions. And this station here on 8th and Burnside is only running because of the contributions that you guys give. So if you guys are feeling like donating, once again, our number is 877-500-5266. That is 877-500-5266. Or you can go online at kboo.fm. Once again, that is kboo.fm. And we'll take it back to the show.
Do it now.
Helping our listeners become part of the KBOO community. That's really great. So thank you for that. And thank you to all of our listeners and to everybody who's calling in to contribute. And thanks to Somya for making tonight's show possible. We have Sasha Buchert on the telephone.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi there. It is always good to talk with you. And especially when I... got a chance to was reminded of you earlier today, but we can talk about that later.
Okay.
Sasha, before we chat with you, I have some announcements, mostly about upcoming events that I just want to roll out for folks who are tuning in. First, next week, Preference comes back again, Tuesday at 6 p.m. We're talking with folks who are part of the national group LGBTQ Books to Prisoners, and I think that's going to be end up being a more expansive conversation about incarceration and policing. So we're pulling that together. And we're also going to talk with Robert Gluck. He is an author, and I don't think I could say enough about how amazing Robert's writing is and how passionate I've been about it for many years. And he is coming to do a reading in a couple of weeks, I think at the end of next week, actually. So he agreed to be on the radio with us on Tuesday next week. I'm just over the moon about it. Also coming up, we've got the Palestine Film Festival. That's October 5th. Through 7th. The Portland Queer Film Festival starts on September 28th. Folks can go online and check out the whole roster of movies. I think there are about a dozen. So it's kind of exciting. There's a nice mix. That's the Portland Queer Film Festival. Down in November, there's another film. I hope we get a chance to talk with the folks who made this. November 2nd, really mark your calendars ahead for a film called Trans Dudes with Lady Cancer. The last Saturday in October will be Portland's Thriller World. We'll teach you the dance. Everybody comes together in a public place in Portland. Folks are welcome to dress up as zombies. Most folks do. And it's a benefit for KBOO, so we'd love to have folks participate. I think that's all. I think that's all the announcements I've got. Sasha, welcome.
Thanks, Ellen. And I just want to say that thanks for everybody for listening, but thanks for helping to support local radio. I had the privilege of working at KBOO as a volunteer for a couple of years, and it was a wonderful experience. And, you know, there's so much great programming that I still stream a lot of it, you know, from where I live now on the East Coast. But I hope that you will all join me in renewing your membership this evening and this week during the drive. So it's really important.
Wonderful. Now, you left Portland to go to Oakland to work at the Transgender Law Center, and now you are in D.C. If ever there was a swamp, it really is D.C., working with Lambda Legal. So you've had a chance to be sort of up and close in exploring how the legal system works, which is super complicated. You know, there's so many steps along the way to make anything happen, and so I wanna get a sense from you about what the most important things you see happening in the legal system now that you're working on or you're close to or keeping an eye on.
Yeah, there's a lot of different kinds of cases, that impact the LGBT community and people living with HIV that are moving forward. But, one thing that I think is an important place to start is to talk about judges, especially in this moment. Mm-hmm. With the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. It's so important that, we protect our independent judiciary, which has stepped up. We've seen over and over again, in the face of the kind of extremism that we've seen come out of the White House, the judges have stepped forward, whether it's the trans military ban cases or protecting the DACA program or the, challenge to separating families at the border or the challenges to the contraceptive care restrictions that Trump tried to implement. Just over and over, we have seen our court stand up, and it's so important that we continue to fight to protect those because, this administration has outsourced all of their federal judiciary work to the Heritage Foundation and the Federalist Society, and we just have seen really extreme nominees. We've seen nominees that have called, transgender children as quote part of Satan's plan. We've seen judges question the legitimacy of the Supreme Court following Obergefell v. Hodges, and just that's just a couple of examples, but I could go on for hours talking about so many of the anti-civil rights positions that so many of these judges have taken. So I think that is a real pressure point. And now that we've got, this person that is, set to turn the court as a lifetime position, the Supreme Court, to the radical right, it's such a dangerous time. And I'm so proud with and stand with Dr. Ford and her credible and allegations that need to be investigated by the authorities before any hearing happens. And it would be so dangerous for someone like Kavanaugh to be on the Supreme Court right now, where so many issues, including executive power and health care, being at stake, and so many issues for the LGBT community. We're losing the jurisprudence of Justice Kennedy, who wrote cases like Obergefell and Lawrence v. Texas. And, I can go into what those cases meant if there's folks that aren't familiar with those or things that would be helpful. But, that's one thing that's at stake. But then Kavanaugh himself has, a really terrible record that clearly shows a hostility towards expanding civil rights protections for folks. So that's probably the biggest issue on my mind right now is the independence of the judiciary.
Maybe folks just try not to think too much about this, but is there some, what is the conversation that you're aware of, that what the legal system or the legal landscape, I guess is what I'm looking for, might look like in 5 years, 10 years? What is there a conversation about that?
One of the, largest issues that we've been fighting for the past few years is the work to have protections so that we aren't denied health care because of who we are or who we love, or denied the freedom to marry because of who we are or who we love, or be able to go to school and not be discriminated against, and because there are many states that have explicit non-discrimination protections that include sexual orientation and gender identity that protect LGBT people, but we don't have those protections on the federal level. Mm-hmm. Because we just haven't been able to move forward legislation like the Equality Act that would create explicit protections in federal law that apply to LGBT people across the board, whether it's housing or credit or employment or education or jury service, et cetera. But because of the logjam, gridlock, whatever the metaphor is, in Congress, you know, we just haven't been able to advance those issues. So we've had to litigate to build those protections. Yeah. And those are especially valuable and important in places without those state level protections. And one of the and a lot of those protections have been built on litigating the question of whether sex discrimination protections encompass protections against discrimination based on gender identity or sexual orientation. And there are currently three cases before the Supreme Court right now addressing that exact question. In addition, you know, similar litigation that's likely to, work its way through the courts in the next 5 years is the Masterpiece Cake Shop question that the Supreme Court did not address, you know, contrary to the, wishes of the radical right. The Supreme Court did not hold that, that businesses can choose to disregard non-discrimination law. They just, returned the case back to the Colorado Civil Rights Commission because during the process, the Supreme Court felt like there was some hostility expressed by one of the commissioners towards, Jack Phillips's religious beliefs, but there was not, the holding that they believe happened. And, that's the kind of case that's going to work its way back up to the Supreme Court again. We're confident that it'll come out the right way, but it's so important that we protect the courts to make sure that's the case, so that these ideologically driven folks that, Trump is putting forward, aren't in the position to make those kinds of decisions.
It sounds like there's a need for folks to go back also to focusing on state-level protections, something that maybe folks got a little complacent about for a bit there. Does that seem right?
I wouldn't necessarily think that that's something that people have turned away from. I think we've continued, I came from, as you said earlier, I came from California, and there's been a ton of work both in Oregon and California to advance protections for trans folks specifically in the last few years. Basic Rights Oregon and the ACLU of Oregon and Transgender Law Center down in California and folks up in Washington State have been doing really great work, in my opinion, on the state and local level to move forward policies, including adding a third gender marker to IDs and making sure that folks are able to access transition-related health care, and those kinds of, making sure that single occupancy restrooms aren't identified as, that they're all gender restrooms. So, just really, solid policy advancements, in states. And I think that there really isn't a choice, obviously, on the federal level at this moment to, advance good policy in Congress. So people have turned to and continue to work on local and state level non-discriminations. But I think that I agree with you. I think there could be a more intentionality focused on doing that specifically to bring more energy to that space. But it is happening. St. Joseph, Missouri, just last week passed non-discrimination protections against discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. So there really are good policies moving forward. We don't hear as much about them because they don't get as much media attention, but there still are.
Gotcha.
But historically, absolutely, that is what we have done as a community, is to, that's how we won non-discrimination protections in Oregon, was, the Equality Act, championed by Senator Merkley, back a few years ago, was the result of, Portland passing non-discrimination protections and similar Eugene and Ashland and, creating the momentum needed, to work on the state level. That work definitely should continue. And I totally agree. And I think that one thing that's overlooked a lot of times are, good criminal justice policies, that are starting to move forward on behalf of LGBT people around the country, in prisons and jails. I think that's something that gets less attention, but is a very important policy issue area that I hope gets more attention. Folks that are in prisons and jails that are LGBT identified often experience, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of sexual assaults and very often are denied access to transition-related healthcare treatments if they're trans or, you know, are housed, you know, not based on, you know, who they are, but, you know, whether they've got an innie or an outie. So it's, you know, really, really important work that needs to continue to happen, you yeah. know, both in the blue states and the red states, for sure.
Sasha, thanks so much for joining us once yeah. again. We love having you on the radio yeah. with us.
Of course. And Alan, would you mind transferring me to the folks that are doing the great work tonight for all the supporters so I can add my renew my membership and encourage folks that are listening to do likewise?
We are grateful. We'll turn you and our listeners over to Jaden and Guinevere to talk some more about how wonderful KBOO is and how you can support it. Thanks so much, Sasha.
What's good, KBOO community? This is Jalen reaching out to you guys. It's September, so you know what time it is. It is our membership drive.
That's
looking
right.
to get your donations. You know, we just heard a lot about some progressive topics going on, a lot of the progress made in discrimination, and a lot of those things that are happening now are things that, you know, we lead here at the KBOO community with portraying such a good voice, and a voice that is not backed by any type of big corporate money. It's all community, and it's all made possible with your guys' contributions. You can start those contributions off by calling us at 877-500-5266. Once again, that number is 877-500-5266. Or you can go online at kboo.fm. That is KBOO.fm.
Right. So everybody knows this is our membership drive. We are looking for donations to keep the place going. There's a lot of things going on here that, you know, in the end, there's space for everybody here. There are so many programs, so many people coming in volunteering, and it's all what makes this place tick day to day. Your help, your donations, your volunteering, anything you can do to come in and help KBOO keep going for the community is awesome.
Most definitely. And it'd mean even more if you guys could become part of that community, which you could do by going online at kboo.fm, or you can give us a call at 877-500-5266. Become a member now. I don't see why not join the community. We're pretty cool over here, I'd say.
Pretty cool.
We mm-hmm. also got some pretty cool t-shirts while we're on that topic that you can buy right now, or, you know, have monthly donations. They're all ranging from about $6.25 a month to $10 a month for t-shirts. Easy contribution, I think. Mm-hmm. And you get a pretty mm-hmm. nice t-shirt, one of a kind.
One of a kind.
Not necessarily one of a kind, but you can't get it in any other store. We also got our nice, beautiful, warm hoodie as we're heading into these fall months. You guys can go purchase that one through the phone number 877-500-5266. And that beautiful hoodie is $300 on the spot, or $25 a month to keep you warm and snug. And you can be even warm thinking that that contribution helped keep these lights on in this building and keep these this radio station going. And also, I want to touch on again just the freedom that we have in our voices here and how we portray the voices of the community. We got people from all walks of life here. And mm-hmm. the only reason why we're able to get these voices on the airwaves is your guys' contributions. So once again, I encourage you guys to call in and donate 877-500-5266. And did I mention that you can be drawn in for a chance to win 12 bottles of wine? Once again, that is 12 bottles of wine. That is plenty of parties to throw with that. That is three varieties of Pinot from St. Joseph's Winery. Or you can go online at kboo.fm and look up the rules and details on all the prizes that we have for calling in and donating to us.
Mm-hmm. That's a full case of wine. Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
From St. Joseph's. So high quality stuff.
Yeah.
Really good. Yeah. And I'd like to... you know, support what Jalen's talking about, this community and their space, there's programs, there's something to listen to for everybody. This is a place to have your voice heard or to hear others speak in something you align with. To keep it going, you know, it's like the donations just really help. And any kind of donation that you give, like $5, $10, $15, $25 a month or a one-time payment, you know, is so appreciated and counted on.
Yes, we really do appreciate it. This is what we rely on to keep the lights on in this building. And feel free to even stop on by. We're over here on 8th and Burnside. Make a donation. Come by and say hi. We got wonderful people here. You know, the KBOO radio and what we stand for goes so beyond the airways. It's all about a community, and there's a culture here that we all are part of. And it's all about inclusiveness, freedom of voice. And once again, that is all only made possible by, you know, our viewers and the people who donate and our members of the community. So once again, that number to donate is 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266, or you can go online at kboo.fm. Once again, that is kboo.fm. Thank you.
Donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bread and Ink Cafe, located at 3610 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland, serving family-style breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Lunch provided by Aviv, located at 1125 Southeast Division Street in the Hosford-Abernethy neighborhood. Open daily from lunch to dinner, Aviv serves vegan-friendly Middle Eastern cuisine. Dinner provided by Le Bistro Montage, located in Portland's Industrial District at 301 Southeast Morrison Street. Le Bistro Montage serves Creole cuisine, open daily from dinner to late night. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
Yo, man.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor It Still Takes a Village, the second annual benefit concert for Tanzania, on Sunday, September 23rd at 5 p.m. at Sabad House in Portland. It Still Takes a Village will feature music by the Palante Latin Jazz Quintet, food by Black Star Grill, dancing, drinks, and more to support the work of the Rafiki Village Project. Its mission is to improve health, increase literacy, and promote